Good morning, all of you wonderfully odd people. Today is February 20th, 2014. You are listening to KPCRadio.com. My name is Mark Lauer, and it is time to dust off your character sheets and roll for initiative, ladies and gentlemen, for this is Geek Speak.
Round two.
Where I would also like to remind everyone that we're not antisocial, we're just not extremely user-friendly. I would first like to start off today by saying, welcome back, everybody. It's always good to come back and spaz over everything we talk about here. I am joined by two unfortunately familiar faces, Jordan Martinez and Brandon Oakington.
What's up?
As per the tradition to Geek Speak, we will be kicking off where the Magic the Gathering universe is taking us these past few months. We will be discussing more about the Magic community and events in the local area, along with different formats and styles. We also have information on the next few months of Magic up until August. Also, we will be discussing one of my biggest fears here on the show, the Magic the Gathering movie. Upcoming video games like the South Park video game, The Stick of Truth, will be on topic today. And finally, we will be ending the show with a gruesome and unholy tale of how your first Dungeons & Dragons game will play out.
Roasted ways.
So, with Magic the Gathering, the last few months, we were taken to back to Theros, and the story has unfolded where Xenagos has been a god. And the name of the new block is Born of the Gods. And Xenagos, a little background story, is a planeswalker, or he was. He started traveling the plains across Magic the Gathering and started to decide, well, they offer so much. I've learned so much. I can be better than everybody else. So why not go home and become the real OG? So he started throwing a giant party in the Temple of Abandon. And during the party, he tricked Mogus, the god of slaughter, a giant minotaur, angry god, to set war on the humans. Now, Mogus is your favorite god, right, Brandon?
Yee.
Why don't you talk some about the god of slaughter?
Basically, Mogus is a giant, awesome, powerful minotaur who crushes everybody that stands before him. In the lore, he is the brother of Iros, who is more or less the protector of the humans. And they were twins that were born at the same time, but they separated in their paths at birth. Where
because of personality differences.
Where Mogus went towards slaughter and death and destruction, Iros went towards more
protection,
nobility, kind
tradition,
of
tradition, honor.
Yeah.
He's more about fighting. Iros is more about fighting for what is right, while Mogus is fighting for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Jordan, who is your favorite god out of all the new ones?
Actually, probably Xenagos.
Xenagos. Well, Xenagos has started waging war amongst the gods, and all of the 14 other gods are extremely upset that he has made his way in the pantheon.
Even Fennex, god of sick beats.
Actually, the god of sick beats, Fennex, he's actually enjoying Xenagos. He is supporting him wholeheartedly. Fennex, the god of deceit, actually, is having another planeswalker never seen before, Ashiok, the Nightmare Weaver. He is working for him for unknown reasons. And after Ashiok traveled the plains of Theros for a while, he went in front of the gods in the pantheon and stood before them for doing the favor. And he asked them a favor, which in turn made them all laugh in his face and refused to accept his help anymore. So now Ashiok is terribly upset with the gods, and he's doing his own thing. Ashiok was introduced in the previous set, Theros. Now, Ephara, the god of protection. Jordan, why don't you tell us something about Ephara, who coddles the humans?
She's basically just that. She is the protector of the humans. She's probably the most sympathetic of the gods towards the humans.
She also is a prophet to the humans, where in Meletus, they worship her mostly. And Meletus is a town or a city of pure knowledge, striving for hope, thought, anything that can put you one up before everyone else. But they're not conceited in the sense that they're not thinking that they're better than everyone. They're doing this for everyone. And Afara sees this and has made the people, the citizens of Meletus, her champions, every single one of them, the young, the old, the sick. And every single person in Meletus is granted a vision of Afara that tells a different part of the story.
Yeah.
And it's up to the citizens of Meletus to bind together and to piece together all of their visions so that they know where what the gods want them to do. And Afara is sort of the messenger of the Theros world. Now, we also have Kerametra, the god of harvests, sister to Nylia, god of the hunt. Now, these two are completely opposite in personalities, but they're also very alike. They prefer isolation when it comes to the other gods or into retribution or devotion. But Kerametra does not want anyone to interfere with the humans. She believes that the gods do not have the right to decide what the humans do. She believes that they need to figure out their own destiny. And so she's interfering in her own way to make sure the other gods do not interfere. And then we have Kiora. Kiora is originally from Zendikar. She is a planeswalker. And she's also the fish queen. She runs around Theros on the back of a giant sea serpent, peers out of nowhere, and all of the merfolk start freaking out.
Merfolk. The ones made out of hay and stuff, right?
Yeah, and they have, like, scythes, and they chill in cornfields, and they're totally not scarecrows. Right, Jordan?
Right.
Hey, you guys.
We're building a scarecrow EDH deck, and...
No, it's just a scarecrow constructed.
Merfolk.
Merfolk.
No, they're merfolk. Sorry, merfolk.
The merfolk.
I want to create a poster that has KPC Radio, and it just says, "Just say no to merfolk." That should be the poster.
I don't think anybody's
going to
understand that.
I'll understand it.
And that's what matters.
Are you calling me no one?
Yes.
Are you saying I'm a nobody?
Yes.
Fair enough. I am hosting a show called Geek Speak, after all. I mean, so Kiora is traveling the plains trying to gather a giant army of fish and salty creatures and crabs. She has crabs. And she is trying...
That was not very subtle.
She has crabs. She has...
That was not subtle at all.
Hedron crab with landfall.
Not subtle.
I'm just saying.
Stop. That was not subtle at all, Mark.
Okay, she has krakens, serpents.
Yeah.
Well,
God, I'm going to hell. So,
Leviathans, octopi.
Leviathans, krakens.
Octopi.
Octopi.
Is that right? Is that right?
Yes. It's octopi, not octopuses.
Well, octopus. Because there's
no,
like sheep.
Octopi.
It's octopi.
I have 20 sheep.
I'm pretty
I
sure.
I have 20 octopus.
It's octopi.
No, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, octopi.
It's octopi.
Okay.
Eight pies.
She's currently going around Theros collecting all these sea creatures. And the merfolk are looking at her as the avatar of Thassa. Now, Thassa is the god of the sea. And she's very similar in looks to Kiora in a sense of being scaly and fishy and kind of, you know, crap.
Smelling like tuna.
20 feet tall.
But the thing is, she can control the serpents of the sea, you know, the creatures of the sea, which the merfolk have never been able to dream of. And so some merfolk are actually worshipping Kiora, and she's starting to like this. Thassa, however, is starting to notice this and starting to create...
Uh-huh, honey.
Uh-huh, honey. She creates... she creates... I lost train of thought. Derailed.
She's getting praised from the merfolk, and then yeah. Thassa's getting angry.
And she's creating bad luck for Kiora, where she's starting to make the other merfolk that are worshipping Thassa she's making those merfolk believe that she's evil and, you know, causing destruction amongst the lands, and she wants to dismantle the gods. That's what Thalsa's up to. Now, Elspeth, we found out that when she first showed up to Theros, this was right after the events of Moradin. Now, can I'm pretty sure you want to take this off from here.
No,
please.
No.
No, no. Tell us about all the nasty things that happened on Moradin.
Originally, Moradin was a place where artifacts, like automatons, artifact creatures, and living creatures got along. It was originally like that, but it slowly diverged into the artifact creatures taking over, just like rebelling, like the robot rebellions that are in like all those movies about the future.
Didn't they blow up the sun?
Yes.
They blew up the sun.
They blew up one of the nine suns.
And they have nine, so it doesn't really matter.
And
I guess.
didn't they also like set the sea on fire too?
They drained the world of the water, yes.
Well, they're robots. I don't think they like water.
They don't need the water, so they drained it, and then like all the living stuff is dying off. That's where when we returned to Moradin,
so
we left off.
So it's a planet of pure metal.
Basically, it's a planet's surface that's all metal.
That's pretty metal.
And like barren wasteland,
and
basically.
And then the Phyrexian plague
came. Yes, I was getting to that.
Yeah.
A disease started spreading.
Is it like a computer virus?
Actually.
Kind of,
wow. Yeah.
I got that.
The Phyrexian plague, which infected almost every one of the artifact creatures, all the automatons, including one who is a planeswalker, I guess, but he died, which was Karn, the Silver Golem. He got infected with the Phyrexian plague.
And he became the Hive Mind.
Correct.
And then Tezzeret, one of the other planeswalkers, was sent by Nicol Bolas, the sort of biggest protagonist.
Archenemy.
Yeah, the archenemy of Magic the Gathering.
Or the multiverse.
He's the Nicolas Cage.
No, not even close. No, 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 no.
No,
like Nicolas Cage.
No, Nicolas Cage has never really played a bad guy.
Yeah, if Nicolas Cage played a bad guy, he would be Nicol Bolas.
No.
Yes,
no.
He would.
No.
No.
You know what? You can fight me all you want on this, but this is my show. I'm just saying.
You're just
saying that because they both have... They start with Nicol. Nicolas Cage. Nicol Bolas.
Nicol back.
They're all bad. They're all bad. See, that proves my point. Thank you.
Yeah, but I like Nicolas Cage and...
Yeah.
Everybody likes at least one Nickelback song.
Also, for an Easter egg, those who want brownie points for GeekSpeak, go on Google.
Get brownies?
Yes. You Google Gristlebrand and then replace his face with Nicolas Cage. Just saying, you'll enjoy it.
No, he's already from a broken home. You don't need to make his life even more miserable.
He just wants some love.
Grizzly Bears just wants loving.
What happened?
Jordan, are you taking care of grizzly bears, by the way?
Yes, of course.
Good.
What happened in Phyrexia?
Moradin.
Well, yeah, sorry. Moradin. What happened in Moradin? Koth of the Hammer, a planeswalker native to Moradin, started traveling the plains looking for other planeswalkers, and he found two. A warrior. Female warrior, Elspeth, of, you know, noble virtues, stuff like that, mm-hmm. will do anything to fight the Phyrexian plague because she dealt with it when she was a child. And then there's Venser, a sort of wild-minded, crazy-eyed, you know, blonde boy who wants to create things out of nasty things.
Milo. He looks like Milo.
He does look like Milo.
Just a little bit buff and not wearing glasses. And
you know,
he's
Mark,
just like, hey, let's
like
take this and put it together and make something cool.
Yes, we have all made the connection. I look like Milo. Thank you.
No, you look more like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. So, Venser started creating... You remember the Skyship Weatherlight?
Yes, yes,
Can
of
you please tell us about the Skyship Weatherlight?
The Skyship Weatherlight was giant skyship. That's the only way you could really explain it. But the significance of it was before anybody discovered the power of naturally planeswalking, the only way to travel from plane to plane was via the Skyship Weatherlight, which was captained by Captain Sisse and Gerard Capuchin, who the crew kept frequently changing with, I forgot his name, but there was, I think it was Talgarth, who was a Minotaur shaman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was Talgarth.
Talgarth,
yeah.
Talgarth.
Yeah.
Akroma, the Angel of Wrath, was there for a while with them. And it just kept frequently changing, and they'd go from plane to plane, dealing with, surprisingly, the only one thing that was common in all the planes was the Phyrexian plague and the Phyrexian army.
Now, I'm so glad you said that, because Bentzer found the ruins of the Skyship Weatherlight, and he started taking Phyrexian technology and tried rebuilding it. Koth of the Hammer got wind of this and was so infuriated with him that he found Bentzer with Elspeth.
Smashed him with his hammer?
No.
He
beat him up and literally encased his head in stone until he almost suffocated. He forced Bentzer to swear to him that he would fight to his death for Moradin and to fight the Phyrexian plague. No choice, Bentzer had to say yes. So the three of them went to Moradin and discovered, you know, how bad the hive mind was. Nicol Bolas was getting wind of some stuff going on Moradin, so he sent his best agent, Tezzeret. Tezzeret hates his master. So
who doesn't dislike Nicol Bolas?
I'm like, seriously. Who doesn't dislike Nicolas Cage? My point exactly.
I love Nicolas Cage.
He's awesome.
Okay, yeah. So that's one person.
Mark.
Anybody else?
Tell me I'm your national
Nobody cares?
Treasure.
No?
Mark?
Nobody?
Am I your national treasure?
Your Geek Speaks national treasure.
Yee!
So, they...
Yee, 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 yee!
Tezzeret discovered that he was able to start walking through to the core of Moradin. And in the very heart of the core, he found the Hive Mind. And sitting at the seat of the throne for the Hive Mind was
Karn.
Who actually was the father of Moradin. He created several planes. The only plane that we know confirmed that he created was Moradin. And he was sort of the god that, you know, he gave life to Moradin. And when Phyrexia found that out, they made him the hive mind so he could, so they can control the
all
artifact.
All of Moradin.
All the artifact creatures. Tezzeret found this out, met up with Karn, Bentzer, no, not Karn, Koth,
Bentzer,
and
Elspeth,
told them where he was at. He disappeared, Tezzeret, and then the three of them, Bentzer,
Elspeth, and Koth,
went to the hive mind, freed Karn. Koth then killed Karn and melted him into coins. And
what? I would melt you if you were made of silver and make you into coins.
And
don't laugh.
Bentzer actually sacrificed his life so that Koth and Elspeth could escape. After the battle, Tezzeret made his way into the Hive Mind again and actually became the Hive Lord. He is not infected with the Phyrexian Plague because he is an Esper. Espers are half metallic, half human. And they cannot gain any. They cannot get sick. They can't get any plagues or, you know, viruses, because of their half elemental metallic body parts. And so, the Phyrexian hive saw this and was like, "Well, we can't kill him. Might as well let him lead us." And then that's where we left off with Tezzeret. He's the leader of.
He's just chilling like Yoda was cracking.
Koth and Elspeth were overrun by a swarm of Phyrexian juggernauts. Koth barricaded Elspeth in a stone wall and said, "You better planeswalk out of here or you're going to die." And Elspeth planeswalked and showed
ended up in Theros.
Ended up in Theros. Now, when she got to Theros, she woke up in a cave next to a temple. And this temple is in a swamp, and it was ran by a bunch of snake priestesses. The god that they worshipped was Phyrica, god of old age, god of wisdom, god of grief. And Elspeth just went through this nasty war in Maraudin, and she was raised for a few months by these snake priestesses, and they told her that you need to do a tribute to Farika. A tribute to Farika is you go to the swamp, you write a letter to her, and you put it in a ceramic jar, and you drop it in the swamp. That's a tribute to her. Elspeth wasn't very religious, and she refused to acknowledge the gods of the pantheon.
Tribute six.
So she decided to write a letter to her best friend and mentor, and I believe lover. I'm pretty sure.
No.
No, there's a comic where...
No.
No, I'm just
saying... She does not like the cat.
Okay, but Ajani. Ajani
she doesn't
is...
like older cats.
She's
okay.
Okay.
No, she's not into that. She's not a crazy cat lady.
I'm just saying.
Okay. No.
There was a comic where
no.
they
what
slept
happened
together.
In the comic?
They,
oh, okay.
They
then
slept
there you go.
Together.
They were sleeping. Nothing else happened while they were sleeping.
Brandon, do you need to have
okay,
the talk?
What about the other comic where Ajani started giving her massage? I'm pretty sure that's saying
no.
something.
She was sore from her training, so Ajani just wanted to give her a massage and make her less sore.
You just
she
don't...
was tight. She had tension in her muscles, okay?
So she wrote a letter to Ajani describing every single detail that happened on Maraudin. And she wrote in the letter that she did not want him to see this letter. And it's kind of curious because Farika has not been released yet as a card, and we do not know much about her. She's coming out in the next set, Journey into Nai. And in Journey into Nai, they released a spoiler picture where it's Ajani and Elspeth fighting Xenagos. Now, Ajani hasn't been to Theros yet and has never been to Theros. So my theory is Farika summoned Ajani because she got hold of the letter that Elspeth dumped for her in the swamp. And Farika is probably very angry that Xenagos has gotten into the pantheon because she's probably one of the oldest gods, god of grief, old age. She's a snake god, so she probably...
Well, she's probably one of the oldest other than Heliod, god of the sun. Praise the sun.
Praise the sun.
She's the queen of time or something like that.
Yeah.
Where did the time go?
She's like the time god, you would say.
She resides
like
in Setessa's Winter Nexus, which is...
She's a time lord.
She's a time lord.
She's the doctor.
Yep.
Doctor who?
She's
the doctor.
Exactly.
All right, so we got Xenagos, Ephara, Fennec, Mogus, Kerametra, Kiora, and Elspeth. All this stuff going on, magic now. The next gods that are supposed to come out are Iros, Kuranos,
Farika,
Atheros. Atherios, and
did you already say
Kuranos?
Iros? You already said Kuranos.
Okay.
It's
another one with the K.
Black, white.
I already said Atheros.
Atherios, okay. Black, white. Blue, red is Kuranos.
Farika.
Black, green is Farika. Green, blue. Can never remember her name.
Oh, Krufix.
Krufix, there we go, Krufix.
Because Prophet of Krufix. Yep.
Yee.
Now.
Is that five?
Yep.
And there are new mechanics in Born of the Gods. There is Inspire.
The new mechanics song. Yee.
And there's also Tribute. Now, Tribute's my favorite out of the two new mechanics because Tribute is when you summon a card, you look at your opponent and you say, okay, you either make it stronger.
Or it does something cool.
Or something really big happens. And your opponent has to decide what happens. Either way, your creature either gets stronger or gets stronger and something happens.
Yeah.
So it's a really good 50-50 that works in your favor every time. Because
probably the best tribute card, in my opinion, is Fanatic of Xenagos, which is... 3-drop, which is 1, a forest, and a mountain, for a 3/3 with trample, and tribute 1, which is not a lot of tribute, but the decision is either you make it a 4-4 for the whole game, or it gets +1/+1 and haste until end of turn. So it's either you get hit with a 4-4 now, or you deal with a 4-4 later. It's a very tough decision, to be honest.
And then my favorite tribute card is Flame Wreath Phoenix, where it has tribute 4. So if you decide to pay the tribute, it gets +4/+4 counters. And if you decide not to pay the tribute, whenever it dies, it goes back to your hand. And it gets haste whenever you summon it from the field, or from your hand. And that's fun. It's just, you know, it never dies.
Now let's talk about the Satan card. Nessian Wild Ravager. It's a 6-6 for 6 with tribute 6.
Oh, and it's a snake.
And it can make you fight things.
Roasted weenies.
Roasted weenies. Okay, so,
Who puts the glad in gladiator? Twercules.
Please stop. So, during our break between Geek Speak, we went to pre-release for Born of the Gods when it was released. And
pre-released.
Pre-released, yes. And what pre-release was is you get to sit down in a giant, you know, grand hall with people, and you get
by
to,
grand hall he means
the comic
five
shop.
The comic shop with 6 tables set up.
Yeah, pretty much.
With about 30 people.
It depends on
where
you...
There was about 30, 35 people where we went.
Yeah, it depends on where you go. I saw videos where it was literally a concert hall with
tables
stacked. And for us, it was about 30, 35 people.
Yeah.
And it was on Super Bowl Sunday, so, you know, nerds don't really like sports. And we went there.
How about them Broncos?
Yeah, Mark.
Guys.
Hey, I lost $50 on that game, okay? So
I lost my pride, okay? That's more. That's worth more than your money.
No, it ain't. Not to me.
Oh, why'd you have to do it, Peyton Manning? Why'd you have to let us all down? I miss Tim Tebow.
Anybody listening to this is not going to understand a single word he just said.
Yeah,
because nobody likes the Broncos.
I like the Broncos. That,
oh, okay. Nicol Bolas, Nickelback, Nicolas Cage, and the Broncos.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
As long as you accept that Nicolas Cage is bad, sure.
He's not.
Okay, then.
We're just trying to put it in a light that you would understand. Which is kind of hard.
They got me backed into corner, folks.
Which is kind of hard.
So,
since sometimes you wear your sunglasses inside in a dark room.
You guys made me take them off.
Yes.
Because you wouldn't turn on the lights.
Exactly.
Nice atmosphere.
It's nice and romantic.
People appreciate this.
The radio
it's nice
people
and
can't
romantic.
See it. They can only
hear appreciate
us.
It.
Anyway, we were sitting in a...
Oh, this is so professional, everybody. We're just arguing
room.
Live on the air.
We're in the studio. The lights are off. And the only light is the light coming in from the recording room, and it creates a nice ambiance, which is slightly romantic, almost as if a line of candles is being lit in front of us. And there is a slight hint of vanilla in the air.
Really? Vanilla? Oh, actually, I did have vanilla coffee this morning, so that probably explains it.
Take a whiff of this, though.
Ooh, that's nice gum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, did you guys buy me gum in a Slim Jim?
No, we didn't have time.
We barely made it on time.
Do you want some Hawaiian Punch Hubba Bubba?
Sure.
Hubba Bubba Bubba Yum, Bubblicious Bubble Gum.
So, on pre-release, we had to choose a color for our devotion. Brandon chose red. Destined to dominate.
No, destined to conquer.
Oh, destined to conquer. That was black, which Jordan chose. Destined to dominate.
Yeah.
I chose blue, destined to outwit.
Did you outwit, Mark?
Actually, I did. For my first match in pre-release.
Oh, that was horrible.
You saw, I was countering all of his things.
Yeah.
Every time he tried summoning his 6-6 for 6 with tribute 6, I would send it back to his hand. Every time.
Like, nope.
He's like, so, do you want to play the tribute? I'm like, well, actually, I would like to nullify it. Destroy it instead.
Aw, poor baby.
Poor baby.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
Honey.
My first opponent's name was Dakota. He was fun. He was really, really fun to go up against because he was the only game I tied. And that's kind of unheard of for a pre-release event. We were the only ones that tied. Out of 35 people, only one match tied.
Well, it's because both of you were playing blue-green and controlling the other person, not letting them do stuff, so nothing happened. That's what happened, okay, Mark?
I'm a blue devotion player. I love to make other people not do things. I'm sorry. Does that make me a bad person?
Yes.
Anyway. Community, yes.
Anyway, let's talk about my first game. I was playing a guy named Brandon. How ironic, because my name is Brandon. Ha ha ha. Ha!
Giggles.
Anyway, the deck I made was red-green, headbutt until I win.
Oh, okay, this requires some explanation.
Yeah.
For pre-release, there were certain styles for the colors you picked. For blue, you basically just controlled the game by air with your flying creatures and your things that did other things, like Perplexing Chimera. You get to exchange it for any permanent you want whenever your opponent summons it. Fun. And then for black, it's basically you just sacrifice your creatures and kill things and get angry. For green, you basically pump up them fatties.
You hit them in the face with your big creatures, with trample, and it's just punching them in the face over and over and over again.
And with white, you basically are just a weenie, and you just send
little things.
Lots of little things.
Simic's Law.
No, that's blue-green.
Yeah, I know.
And then
red.
Red, you basically just headbutt each other until one of you passes out. That's how it works. And that's how he played on pre-release. He just sat in front of his opponent and was like, I'm going to kill you.
In the game.
Frothing at the mouth.
But yeah, it was actually a pretty effective strategy to use a lot of red to deal like direct damage to the player so I could subvert their whole like the first guy I was playing, he was putting out a good amount of creatures. So to just completely subvert the fact that he could block any of my damage, I was just hitting him in the face with burn spell after burn spell after burn spell, and it worked.
And but, then, Jordan, didn't you play Jund?
Jund.
Yeah, I played Jund.
How did...
Jund.
Jund is the form... Well, the type of deck in Magic the Gathering where... Why? Why are you doing this?
Because
what's going on?
Because Jund.
That's what's happening in the game. You're just like, how are you? What? Why?
How did you hit me for 20 points in one turn? I sacrificed this, I brought it back from the dead, and I sacrificed it again, and it did 20 points damage to you. Deal with it. That's basically Jund.
You just
put stuff out to sacrifice it, to bring it back, to sacrifice it for damage, to burn them in the face, to take control of their creatures,
like
to sacrifice
solitaire.
It.
And then you win.
No. That's blue red.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's blue red.
That's
what I played.
Turn two victory. Yay!
But what's really fun is we got to make a lot of friends.
At the
event. We've made, you know, friends with Dakota, the guy I went up against my first match. He pulled
his little brother who looks like a little girl.
We honestly, for the entire day, we thought we were hanging out with a little 8-year-old girl, but it turned out to be a boy. And we were just freaking out because he had a My Little Pony backpack with, like, fluffy ears.
I have My Little Pony sleeves. What you saying, son?
I'm getting My Little Pony sleeves.
DJ Pwn 3?
DJ Pwn 3.
Yee.
Yes.
I'm going to get Pinkie Pie sleeves.
Make me feel uncomfortable.
I'm not a brony. I don't like My Little Pony at all.
You're going to spend your hard-earned money on pony stuff.
Yes, because it'll help me win.
It'll intimidate.
It really did. It actually intimidates the opponent.
I asked the guy the first game I played, were you intimidated when you saw my sleeves? He's like, yeah, I had no idea what to expect. It was ridiculous. It was just too much to take in at once.
See, so, like, in the face of fear, when there's a bright little pony staring at you in the face, you just don't know what to do. That's the strategy
exactly.
of it all.
It. And actually, those sleeves are better quality than any of the other
yeah,
Ultra Pros.
And look, like
they're actually as good as Dragon Shields.
The way I look
and they're
at
cheaper.
It, they're $350 for 65 card sleeves.
Oh no, the My Little Pony are $599.
Oh really?
Yeah, they're more expensive.
Yeah, you can spend $350 for 50 sleeves for kind of you know bad quality.
Or well, they're not bad. They're good enough to get by, but Dragon Shields are probably the best sleeves to go with.
Oh yeah, I only buy Dragon Shields.
But let me tell you something. The My Little Pony sleeves are as good a quality as Dragon Shields.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that's nice.
Which is why they're a bit more expensive from Ultra Pro.
But I sitting down at pre-release, you know, with you know My Little Pony sleeves, you know, you know, just it was an experience because I remember when I walked into a shop when I was a kid, maybe 8 or 9 years old, I would see events just like the one we went to, and I would be intimidated. I would be terrified of the people sitting down with their play
Wait,
mats.
Did you go to comics when it was like a little hole in the wall?
Yeah.
I was probably there playing one or two times.
I was terrified of those people. Because
it was awesome. It
no,
was lots
they,
of fun.
They seemed like professionals, and they had, you know, play mats and sleeves and dice and these cards that I've never seen before.
Oh, I didn't have any of that stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm saying from my perspective.
Yeah, 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 I know.
And I'm trying to get to somewhere.
Yeah, no, you're not.
I'm having a moment here, okay?
You do realize now that we're grown and we play ourselves.
Yeah, and it's
we act like buffoons.
You know, it's,
we're adults.
I'm that person I was scared of when I was a kid, and it's something kind of comforting because
I... Do you scare yourself, Mark Lauer?
All the time. Oh, man.
Fire! Fire!
Burn!
Side story. Brandon, over the last 2 months, every day he had me look for cards for him. At least 35 to 40 different cards. And he would ask for, oh, yeah, get all of them as many as you can. And every day, more by more, he wouldn't give me just a solid list. He would send me one... by one, by one. While I'm searching...
It's because I would think of them at
so
the time I was
while,
typing it. I was
while,
like, oh, this.
While I'm searching, he would place them in the weirdest orders, and I would have to look for them. So one day, I had a mental breakdown when he kept on sending me texts, and my phone is just going... I'm listening to angry German industrial techno, and this song starts playing where... Fire! 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 Burn! Burn! And I start getting land cards, setting them on fire while my phone is vibrating. While this song is playing, I'm taking the ashes and smearing them on my face and screaming, "Is this what you wanted, Brandon? You wanted Burning Tree Emissary? I'll give you Burning Tree Emissary!" And
then I thanked you for it later.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
that's
is why
love,
I try
That's called love. Even though I made him mad, he still traded me the cards that I asked him for.
After my mental breakdown.
After
at
his
3
mental
in the
breakdown at 3 in the morning.
I was
it
also
it was adorable.
I was also it was bad.
There's lots of profanity from his part. I was like, "Oh, thanks, buddy. Have a good day." And then I left.
I hate you so much. So now that we've...
Uh-huh, honey.
Oh, God. That's the third time. Now...
It's still funny.
You know, I have written here making friends at the stores and events. Maybe I should just leave and go make new friends. I'm thinking that's my best bet.
Probably.
So, there are so
oh,
many
God.
Events... in
Jake.
Jake. We've made so many friends at events, like EDH... Commander. Now, Commander is a format where you have 100 cards, and each card is different except for basic lands. You cannot have mm-hmm. two of the same card. And it's 100 cards minimum and maximum, and you have a commander that's a legendary creature that, you know, has a name. So, basically, Uncle Isban, you know?
Uncle Isban is not legendary.
He's his own creature type.
Yeah, but he's not legendary.
His own creature type.
He's not legendary, though.
Actually, you know, they did a reprint of Uncle Isban where they made him just a human.
What's that? What's that?
I don't remember.
I need to get one. I need to get 100 Uncle Isvans.
Yeah.
And just put them in every room of my house, lining all the walls, and just like, Uncle Isvan, no, yay!
We've made so many friends at these events, and I suggest you go to Winnetka and Sherman Way to Collector's Paradise. Go on Friday for, you know, Friday night draft. You can, you know, draft is hard.
Draft is $15, and you get 3 packs each among everybody, and
you take a card from each pack.
Well, here's how it goes. Everyone opens up the first pack and looks through it, takes a card, and sets it aside. Then they pass it to the person next to them, and it goes around until all the cards in the pack are accounted for. Then you move on to the second, do the same thing, and the third, do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And you build a deck out of what you
pull. You build a deck out of what you set aside for yourself, mm-hmm. which will be 45 cards.
Yeah. And then there are also Sunday events where it's Commander, where you mm-hmm. come with your own deck that you've built, and you compete with other people, like Jake, who has a $25,000 cube. A cube is basically a box of Magic cards that you've sleeved yourselves.
And you draft with.
And you draft with. And
It's sickening.
It's worth over...
He has Black Lotus in there. A Black Lotus in there.
Yeah.
From the beta, which is a $10,000 card mm-hmm. at collector's value.
And
which, if I didn't like Jake, I would sock him out and take his box and run.
But we love Jake.
But we love Jake.
So
we love him too much.
And we love Jake.
He's like a son.
We love Jake so much that we know he's going to be buying these next products that are coming up until August. There is Jace versus Vraska, a dual deck coming out March 14th.
Looks so good.
Jace, the Architect of Thought, versus Vraska, the Mind Seeker.
The Unseen?
Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking
Mind Drinker.
You're thinking Mikrovask Mind Drinker.
Yeah, I was thinking Mind Drinker.
Yeah, Vraska, the Unseen.
Yeah. And then...
I'm actually kind of disappointed with both of those Planeswalkers, to be honest.
I like Vraska.
Vraska's okay. The Jace is very disappointing, ugh.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the worst of the Jaces.
Actually, I don't think it's the worst.
Really?
Least overpowered Jace is the first one, Jace Beleren.
First Jace.
Well, the second Jace was Jace, the Mind Sculptor.
Yeah, they knew where to go after the first one.
Yeah.
Because everyone just loved Jace. They're like, oh, we can get him up and make them mill 20. Awesome, cool.
Let's pump him.
Mm-hmm. So then they made it, oh, we can make them... exile their whole deck and play with their hand as their deck.
Yep.
And then they went to every turn you can mill them for 10.
Mm-hmm.
And now I forgot what this one does, but it's nothing really amazing.
Yeah, but
nothing good.
It's coming out March 14th, and this is right before pre-release for Journey into Nigh, the final set for the Block of Theros. We're going to see where the gods are taking us and what's going to happen to Xenagos when Elspeth and Ajani show up. Release date is going to be May 2nd for Journey into Nigh. And then something very special that they have not printed in over 4 years, 4 or 5 years, a modern event deck. It is going to be premium foil, all shiny, with its own exclusive sleeves, deck box, and a D20 life counter. It's going to be coming out May 30th.
I'm getting one.
For $80.
Totally worth it.
Okay.
And I'm going to get a pair of nice sunglasses to wear while playing.
And now, another set, a single set, is coming out.
I'm not interested in that, the single set. I'm interested in the shiny. So shiny, I need sunglasses.
I have to get on. We're running out of time. The single set coming out in June is actually meant solely for draft, and it's going to be only coming out in packs and boxes that you can buy. And it's going to be called Conspiracy. And it's coming...
Well,
there's 210 cards in the set, and 65 new cards being printed. And all of the cards have new art and stuff like that. And these are all...
Pretty colors.
These are all reprints that are... All of the cards in the game, or in this set... are going to be meant 100% for multiplayer games. So basically, you're going to be seeing Debt to the Deathless again.
Colors.
Sizzle. Pre-release for the boot M15 core set is coming out. With M15 is a new type of border, and Magic has gotten their own exclusive font that is recognized by Webster Dictionary. So that's cool. Also, a new type of product is coming out with M15 called Clash Packs. They haven't released any information on these, but we believe that they're going to be colors versus other colors, or planeswalkers versus... It's going to be something like dual deck.
Something
probably.
I'm thinking it's going to be something like the dual decks, just a little less... or maybe more, but it's going to be leading towards more like a red versus green kind of thing. That's what I think.
Yeah, and then that's coming out July 12th. Release date for... M15 core set is July 18th. And then the last bit of information we have for products releasing is the next From the Vault. And this is From the Vault Annihilation, which is 16 cards that are all premium foil.
Shiny.
And when they print a premium foil card for From the Vaults, they have their own unique printing style that's only that you can find for those cards.
Correct.
There are going to be 16 cards, 6 with new art, and it's going to be $35, and which is...
Totally worth it.
Totally. It's not that bad.
Whereas the previous From the Vault,
it was $180.
$150 for 20 cards.
They boosted the price.
Because it's going out.
Yeah.
But it did come with a Jace the Mind Sculptor, which is a $100 card.
Mm-hmm. And then, finally... the last thing coming out in the next year or so is the Magic the Gathering movie.
Yay!
Ew.
I like it.
20th Century Fox has closed a deal to acquire the screen rights to the hugely popular fantasy card game from Hasbro and will develop the property with an eye to launch a massive franchise on the scale of Harry Potter and the Lord of the Rings.
Yay!
The studio has enlisted Simon Kinberg, the Fox-based writer and producer who is also helping shepherd the X-Men and Fantastic Four universe. To produce the adaptation, Kinberg will also act as the franchise's engineer, overseeing the development of the movie series in concert with Hasbro executives.
Yee.
This is terrible. I don't like this.
I like it.
I think it has the potential to be amazing.
Keanu Reeves needs to be Jace.
No.
No. You can have Nicolas Cage in there. Why not?
Yeah, Nicolas Cage could be Venser.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 I like that.
Right?
Done.
Done.
Decided.
You're
decided.
Not Simon Kinberg, everybody.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am Simon Kinberg. You know
out.
Who can be Kotha the Hammer? 2 Chainz. Okay?
I would
two
watch
Chainz.
That. I would
I
watch
got
that.
2 Chainz, but they call me 2 Chainz, but I got more than that.
Tyler Perry is Kotha the Hammer?
No. It has to be 2 Chainz.
It has to be 2 Chainz.
Yee. Oh, I don't know. I'd watch it. So finally we have...
You know who would be a Johnny?
Finally, we have the South Park video game.
Morgan Freeman?
Yes, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
I can see that.
The video game is taking off the last 3 episodes of the last season, for which were Game of Thrones adaptations. The last episode led up to them saying, why are we depending on PlayStation 4s and Xbox Ones when we can just use our imagination?
Because they're more
fun. So Cartman picks up a stick and looks at it and says, you know what? This will be our new game. We'll base a game off this. And then that was a giant commercial for their video game.
I still haven't seen that last episode. Yep. Thanks for ruining it for me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why we use PS4s, Xbox Ones, all those, is because it's fun.
True.
It's more fun and entertaining to sit on our ass, all lazy, at home, in a comfy couch, eating chips, and...
In the South Park video game, you are the new kid moving to town. Your parents are suspicious of you having some sort of memory collapse, and they're actually extremely happy of it. They make sure that you don't remember what happened prior to you moving to South Park.
Night Vale.
You go out to play because your parents want you to, and you meet Butters. And Butters is being...
I don't know, guys.
Butters is being beat up by an elf, and you help him out. And
Is the elf Canadian?
Yes. And Butters takes you to Cartman and says, okay, Cartman,
my face.
Cartman wants you to fight for the Stick of Truth and to be a warrior. On your journeys, you're going to fight Goths, Mongolians, crab people, elves.
And Canadians.
You will also be running into famous celebrities for South Park, like Mr. Hanky, Towley, Jesus, Santa. And this is being developed by Ubisoft. It is coming out March 3rd. It used to be developed by THQ,
but they went under, didn't they? We
know all what happened to THQ. That they went under sometime in 2012.
What game did they produce that was so bad? Was it Sonic?
No.
Please don't tell me they tried remastering Sonic.
They were the ones that were producing Saints Row.
Oh, that's why they went under.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then that's about all the time we have for today.
Whoa.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening. You have been listening to Geek Speak with
Geek
your host, Mark Lauer. Today, I was joined by Jordan Martinez and Brandon Elkington. Our mentality isn't bad, per se.
It's just
in beta. Thank you for tuning in to us here on KPCRadio.com.